Welcome to Bravo Breakdowns, your podcast study guide for reality TV. Every Thursday, we cover an entire season of brawling, boozing, and romance, and skip all the boring parts where everyone is getting along. Whether you've never seen an episode or you're a Bravo scholar, we're here to break it down for you.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo Breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo Breakdown.
Yeah, I don't know if it's boring to talk about Vanderpump Rules when we're already talking about Vanderpump Rules, but
yeah, I haven't seen the episodes you told me to watch yet, but
I'm excited though.
But I had a dream that I watched them, and then I didn't think, like, I wasn't impressed.
Oh yeah, I mean, that dream, there's a strong chance your dream will come true, but I'm part of a loud but vocal minority who thinks it's really popping off, because, like, now they I wish they took down the fourth wall more, but they are like talking about, they're on their Twitter and talking about their mentions and talking to the press and shit like that. And I'm enjoying it.
I will watch them and I will let you know how I really feel. But sometimes I just think that you're holding on to something that you need to let go of.
Girl, I told you, we both went into the season knowing it was going to suck ass. I did not have high hopes. I was expecting to actually, you know, kind of let the edit take me on the ride and, like, dislike Ariana. But it's done something else. It's like they're trying to redeem Tom, but, like, he looks like a cartoon villain. Like, even the shots they pick of his face, he's like, ugh, like a gremlin.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's, like, a part that really reminds, an exercise they do that really reminds me of the NXIVM cult. I was expecting it to really suck the whole time, but these past two episodes, I'm like, am I crazy or I'm... I actually like this. Like, this is actually compelling. I'm thinking about it.
I know, but see, I felt the same way about the NXIVM cult documentary. Like, you were really into it, and I was like, okay, for, like, a sex cult documentary, like, I found it to be pretty
long.
Just, like, not that interesting. It was like, okay, these, like, white women, like, branded themselves.
Why I like it. It's a low stakes. It's a low stakes cult. Like, I do not like that. Like, the Sarah Lawrence cult, where that guy was, you know, like, having sex with all the students and, you know, like, starving them and keeping them in, like, a studio. I don't like that. I like when it's low main. It's like low stakes, and they were all rich. So I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
Like, I need more of, like, a Jim Jones. Like, I need
dark
to drink the Kool Aid. I need to be moving to, Guyana.
See, I don't like that. That was like kids involved and stuff. It's the same reason I like Munchies, but not Munchausen's by proxy. It's like, leave the children out of this.
Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Like, maybe the, okay, yeah. Like, leave the kids out of the cult, sure. But if you want me to watch your documentary about a cult, like, you got to be doing something else besides, like, making, like, I don't know, it's like, they made, like, almost, like, infomercials, these NXIVM gals,
and it was all seminars, like business seminars.
Like, seminar, like, and then it was like, is this like a Holiday Inn conference room right now? Like, this is very lame. And then it's like, okay, yeah, like, the branding is extreme. And I read an article about one of the women, and she was like, you could just smell the burning flesh. It's like, then just, like, leave. And then it was, God, who was the girl that was, like, the main pimp girl, the madam? She looks like Kristen Bell, but she's not Kristen Bell, but she was in that show Smallville, I think.
Yeah, it's like Chloe from Smallville.
Yeah, Chloe from Smallville is now, I'm assuming, in prison.
I think she got released recently because she pretended to be over it. People are like, I don't know if she's, I think she really still is in mind control and in love with Keith, but she's white and she's rich and famous. And so she was like, actually, I'm better. And then I think she's released by now.
I don't know. Sometimes I, like, question, like, my opinions on, like, pop culture things. Cause, like, I don't know if you know this about me, Lauren, I've never seen any of the Star Wars movies. And I think it's just, I'm not going to.
You're not missing out, I would say. This is where we're really going to alienate listeners. but
I've never seen them.
Fine. They're fun.
I don't want to go to space and like save galaxies. Like, I haven't seen any of the Marvel movies. It feels the same to me. I don't want to save humanity this way.
I agree.
I'd rather see a movie about like, I want to see like saving humanity by like getting like stricter gun laws.
Yeah, yeah. Before we talk about killing all the stormtroopers, let's talk about banning our AR-15s, ladies.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know. You know, I guess that would be like the ultimate fantasy film, but I don't need these fantastical creatures and these like weapons and space and galaxies and time and costumes. Like, I just want like lobbyists to be on.
I'm gonna start shaming my fiance about doing Dungeons and Dragons so much. I want to be like, really, you're doing Dungeons and Dragons and there's no element of social justice?
I'm okay. Sorry.
Shallow.
Maybe it's, you know, I guess maybe I just don't have an imagination or something. I just like, I don't want to sit here for 3 hours and watch a movie about like galaxies and other lands. Like, I didn't like Lord of the Rings. Like, I don't need to see your feet. Okay. Like, I don't need to see you like crying over a ring. Like, I get it. Like, it's a thing. And
give me Tinsley Mortimer crying over the fact she still doesn't have a ring.
Exactly. I want to see Tinsley like, ready, set, and now it's time for me to make a match. Like, I want to see, and I do see that, and I do watch that. That's, yeah, I just need to see. I'm not here for all of the, like, whatever. What is it called? Fantasy and stuff. Like, I get it if that's your thing. It's kind of Jason's thing, and he always wants to watch, like, sci-fi movies, but, like, he has to do that on his own. It's like masturbating. It's like, I'm not going to do it with you.
You guys sumo?
Sumo?
It stands for, like, sexually Solo United Masturbation Operation. It's something like that. Someone tell us in the comments what it
was. Is that part of the NXIVM thing? Like one of their Holiday Inn conferences?
I'm sure they did a lot of sumoing, but it's like when you masturbate like next to each other because you're like, yeah, we don't want to have
sex. I just thought that was called like mutual masturbation.
I think that's also what it's called, but yeah, there's an acronym as well. Okay. If you're interested. No,
like, okay, like sumo, like scuba is actually an acronym.
Yeah, for sexually
combined universal
underwater universal butt ass.
blowjob ass.
Yeah,
underwater.
You give a blowjob to someone's ass underwater with a snorkel.
Yeah, you have to be certified.
It's so worth it.
Or certifiable.
No, I get it. I am not super. We have so much lore we have to keep up with.
I know.
As Bravoers. So it's like, I don't really have time to invest in other lore.
No, I've tried watching. Okay. Like I tried watching. I've seen the first Iron Man.
Yes, yeah, same. I gave someone a hand job during in theaters. My then 30-year-old boyfriend.
See, it even
was 19.
Because you're like, okay, this is so boring. I'd rather do like an illegal sex act.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do not like breaking the law or sex. So that's just how boring it was.
Also, literally, like, the lowest form of sex is a hand job. And now we've said it.
Yeah, it's the puns of humor is the puns. Hand jobs are the sex. Yeah, you can't do it as good. And same with guys giving me a hand job. They can't do it as good
as me.
Yeah, get
out of there. Get out of there. I mean, if your mouth is involved, sure, do it.
Yeah,
but I'm not just hands. Like, what am I, 12?
Yeah, Although I do love dry humping.
What is wrong with you?
I have pelvic floor pain, so it's
You haven't even had a kid.
I know.
Dry humping?
It happens to us all, ladies. You don't have to. Hey, this is like a big thing with women that I want to clear up. Not having a kid is not the only thing that wrecks your body. I have a disgusting, busted ass, gross body, and I've never had one, and that's beautiful.
You and Kim dry hump?
I mean, not exclusively, but
wait, you get others involved?
Yeah, yeah, we're dry hump swingers.
That would be a documentary I'd fucking watch. That's fascinating to me. Like, you know, it's all like. It's just all over the clothes. Like, you keep your clothes on. Maybe some under the shirt action. Mm-hmm. But, like,
that's, No, it's like teenage parties.
Yeah, yeah, no fluids adults. Are exchanged.
Yeah, that's safer, honestly.
It is, but you know, the chafing.
The chafing. But that's how I would, if I were ever to swing, I would ease into it that way. A dry hump swing party.
So like for a healthy marriage, how many times a week do you think you should dry hump?
Oh.
For a healthy marriage.
Are we talking genital to genital or just?
I don't know. I haven't dry humped since I was like, I don't know, 15, 16.
Well, it's not like Carl and Lindsay where we're dry humping and not kissing. Okay, like we're making out.
No, it was just he fingered her. They never kissed. She never reciprocated. And they were like 48.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's still, it's part, it's, you know, part, it's a foreplay thing, you know? It's like.
But then you, what, so you dry hump and then he goes and plays Dungeons and Dragons.
And that is how he comes. Yes. And then we sumo.
And then I scuba.
And then I scuba. We need a pool so bad. All right, let's get into it.
Let's reel it in. I really hope everyone took a lot away from whatever that just was about.
Yeah,
fantasy interested in swingers who only dry hump.
Yeah, we need to put a timestamp for people who are like those filthy girls.
Those filthy girls who don't watch Star Wars.
Our puritanical Star Wars loving listeners.
Yeah, get out of my galaxy, guys.
All right. Good morning, students. I'm Lauren Davis.
And I'm Michelle Baber.
And today we are covering season 7 of Vanderpump Rules. Okay, well, this is famously when the show started slipping a little bit in terms of drama, but there are still a ton of all-timer moments this season. I enjoyed the season so much more than I remembered. I'm excited to get into it. Michelle is...
Okay, so you know what this season reminds me of?
What?
That meme of the girl where she's, like, tasting something for the first time. Like, there's the two pictures where she's like, ooh, and then she's like, That's how I feel about it, where it's like, I don't know about this season, and it's like, not too bad. Do you know what meme I'm talking about? Okay, that's
pretty,
how I feel about
it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel about this season.
Yeah. But before we get into it, so we've got another Bravo Breakdowns exclusive. So we've discussed on the podcast Tom Sandoval's horrific interview with the New York Times, where he compared himself to O.J. Simpson and George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
His publicist also spoke in the interview and said that she had been a fan of the show since middle school, so she was born after 2001, which is probably why she didn't realize the interview was his career 9/11.
Ouch.
Now, here at Bravo Breakdowns, we have an exclusive scoop that Tom Sandoval's publicist actually quit after the Rolling Stone article because her dad made her. So Tom is now interviewing new publicists, and we've once again obtained exclusive audio of one of these interviews. Okay. All right. And I'm pressing play. Thanks for meeting me here at the Abbey. Here's a fake ID in case they card you.
What? I'm a baby.
Oh, cool. So, did you drive here, or?
What? Vroom?
Yeah, an Uber. Cool. So, my last publicist was, like, 24, dude, and she, like, completely bailed on me, man. She treated me like a demon when I did nothing but pay her and ignore her advice. So I'm looking for someone, like, younger with less experience who won't be jaded by my castmates, like, totally destroying my character. So how old are you again?
I don't know. One? I'm baby.
Okay, I think we're in the right ballpark. So, do you mind if, like, I drink while we do this? I can buy you, like, an apple juice or formula.
Apple juice. Give me apple juice. No.
Okay. You remind me of Raquel. Okay, so has your brain developed? Has your brain developed enough that you grasp concepts like right versus wrong? Because I think if you've hit that milestone, there's no way you can really be in my corner.
I love my mommy. Mommy. Mommy!
Again, you are so much like my ex, Raquel. It's crazy. So what would your strategy for getting people to see that I am actually the victim in all this be? I want people to realize, like, dude, I'm just as innocent as you, like a newborn baby.
Cookies?
cookies. Okay. Yeah, like the old distraction.
Weed cookies?
Oh, okay. Now you're talking. Drugging everyone. Now that's more my speed. I actually stopped drinking for 5 months. Okay, yeah. And for me too. You're clapping for me too. Okay, I like that. This is going well. Do you think my cover band is awesome, or are you more of like a Coco Melon Sesame Street?
Coco, JJ. Yes. Coco.
Okay, maybe we'll cover that next. All right, cool. Do you have any prior experience in the publicity space?
I have poo-poo in my pants.
Me too. I am kind of freaking out, but you're making me feel a lot better about what's to come for my image. Are you a proficient in Microsoft Excel? Okay, what about, like, stacking cups? Because as a serious bartender, I respect that a lot.
Blocks? I stack blocks.
Okay, well, good eye-hand coordination, all right. And do you have any law experience? Because I'm actually looking for representation there as well.
I'm hungry. I want snack.
Yeah, let me order some goat cheese balls. Okay, last question. So I know you're still learning language, but can you say Ariana Bad?
Ariana Bad.
Awesome. You got the job. Yay. I also have a best friend that I think you might be interested in.
Does he have bugs and lizards?
Oh, yeah, he actually does. Yeah. Lots of plants. All right. Wow, that was so edifying.
Yeah, baby publicist. Watch out, boss baby.
Watch out, boss baby. Here's the new publicist baby. And I think things might turn around for him.
Yeah, and I think this baby knows what's going on.
Yeah, better than him, probably. So
definitely.
All right, so let's get into it. Season 7 of Vanderpump Rules, the beginning of the end. So as the cast members start to settle down and buy houses, it's growing increasingly ridiculous to have them work at Sir. I mean, they've never worked at Sir, but they're trying to pretend they're poor and not famous.
Like,
and
they just bought like homes for like $1.5 million, but they're like, I have a shift at Sir.
Yeah, I mean, like, Sir has always been so fake, like, and I mean, but at least like Jax, like, still was forced to bartend there in the off season against his will and stuff. Mm-hmm, like, they can't do that now. So isn't still all happening like it was before. Mm-hmm. It's more like some things are happening. Mm-hmm. But there's still some things going for the show. This is still one of the most entertaining, messy casts in the biz.
And they're
getting off their ass and working.
Just doing the thing. Like, they still, I think several of them are still in the throes of addiction, which is great.
Great for TV.
And have never really matured emotionally, mentally. So this all works in their favor in making great television.
Yeah, the trauma bonding that stunted them before the show and their alcoholism, and then even more during the show, has kept everyone at a very, like, teenager level of emotions.
Loved it.
So the main stories are Lisa is opening TomTom soon, so the Toms can have an elevated new role as interviewers and mascots. It's a good move for the show's future, but it's really boring, and it's basically just an excuse for Lisa to make them look like morons.
Yeah, and they do look like morons with the whole TomTom thing. Like, she's in there and, you know, dealing with, like, all of the, you know, like, the city and getting lights and, like, electricity and all of the, like, licenses and permits they have to get in, like, there's Tom show up and they're like, what can we do? And she's like, how about you go sort some of those outfits, the uniforms by sizes?
Yeah, how about you give me a cup of tea?
yeah, exactly.
And at first, like, I was like, man, Lisa is, like, such a bitch for this one. Like, and then now when you see how hard it was for them to open Schwartz and Sandy's, I'm like, oh my God, thank God she kept them out of it. They are such clowns.
They really don't know what's going on. They really don't have business acumen, so.
No, not at all.
And we don't want them to.
We don't want them to. No. That would be, God, if they, like, you know, started an e-learning course or got their shit together.
Like a master class. What are those called? Is that what they're called?
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah. Master
class. Oof. I'd watch it, though.
Oh, my God. Okay, so in the season premiere, Jax and Brittany are getting engaged. And actually the episode title is really good on this one. It's called A Decent Proposal because it's like, it's fine.
But also it's a play on indecent, which he has been very indecent.
Right. Yeah. And he's trying to make it right after his dad's death. He has called himself an orphan because he's disowned his mom and his dad has died. Mm-hmm. He's looking for family and he's looking for redemption on TV.
Yes. So, yes. And we do love a redemption story, especially when it doesn't last long.
Yes. Yes. Jax has kind of a Carl type thing where he's always like, this is the new Jax. Mm-hmm. Like, and it never is. Mm-hmm. Even now.
Yeah.
So he buys a ring, hides it in his pocket in really tight pants. Mm-hmm. So it looks like a weird bulge. And he keeps like shifting around with it because he's trying to surprise Brittany.
Yeah. He looks like a guy from those hemorrhoids commercials, like preparation commercials, like on the airplane when they're like, oh, like writhing in their seat. And they're like, should have used preparation H. That's Jax on the way to ask Brittany to marry him.
Yes, his like bright red face and like shifting eyes and wiggling.
Yeah.
So they Uber on down to Malibu, which must have cost a fortune.
It's like 3-hour drive.
To Neptune's Net, which, okay, it is like, it's been around for 15 years. Mm-hmm. It's a historic restaurant, but it is like a seafood hut. Yeah. Like on the beach. Like.
Yeah. It's also like, do you remember they don't have a restroom there? Mm-hmm. And Jax needs to pee. And so they have like porta potties outside. So he used a porta potty before he proposed to Brittany and ate crab off of a paper plate or something.
So romantic.
I don't know.
So he's, just flipping out. And then when the food is ready, he is such a bumbling fool, again, with his Buster Keaton-style comedy. He's like, wait, is that my tray? Where's my tray? Oh, okay, yeah, can I just take this? And he, like, takes a number from another tray.
Is this the one with the crab legs? Yeah, it's like, oh, my God. And he's, like, yelling at the people that work there, like, you guys, like, you can't mess this up for me. Like, this is how, like, the proposal has to go down. And they're like, okay, like, you know, it's just like, what are you talking about, dude? Yeah. This is insane. Why are you yelling at us?
Do you want butter sauce? Like, what's going on?
I know.
And Brittany is like, she is such a bad actress pretending she doesn't know what's going to happen. She's like, like twiddling her thumbs, whistling.
She's so dolled up. Like, her nails are perfect. She has the Ariana braids going, like, full glam. Like, she knew something was up.
Mm-hmm. So then when the food is ready, he puts the ring on the tray, proposes, and she freaks out. Couldn't have been a more perfect proposal.
Yeah, they were sitting at a picnic table.
Surrounded by strangers. Like, casual strangers, like in swimsuits. Like.
Uh-huh. But I mean, like, it was beautiful Malibu sunset.
Yeah, Malibu's pretty. Yeah. Rocky beaches, which I don't like.
Cold beaches.
Cold rocky beaches. A discussion question. Is this worse or better than Schwartz's proposal he pretends someone else is proposing and steals the ring?
Steals the ring. I mean, that one's so... I'm going to say this one's worse because I liked the Schwartz proposal because it was very funny.
That's true. Yeah. But I mean, this one is not without its
that's true.
Comedy. I mean, he had to shit in a porta potty.
I know.
Because he was so nervous.
And his hemorrhoid dance. I mean, the actual proposal, not as good, but everything leading up to it was good.
Was better, I would say. Yeah, they both have their strengths.
Right. So They're even.
I agree. So Brittany is, of course, ecstatic. Mm-hmm. It's a fairy tale and a dream come true to her. And then they go to her requisite post-engagement surprise party where she's yelling, I'm engaged!
I'm engaged! I'm enraged as a viewer watching that.
And so is Lisa when she comes to visit the surprise party. God.
She's horrified by like the decor and the fact that she has to be in an apartment, in a rental with popcorn ceilings. Just not the vibe for Lisa.
She doesn't touch anything.
No.
I do have a question for you, because I feel like you know more about wedding stuff than me. So there's always now in these like Bravo shows, there's the surprise proposal, surprise in quotes, like the girls always know. And then afterwards, they have the surprise, like post-proposal party. And then 6 months later, they have an expensive engagement party. Is that par for the course? Are you supposed to have proposal party and engagement party now?
I think if you're on reality TV and they want a storyline about it, all you do. But I don't think regular people do these things. I mean, I did it after I got engaged. I had, Katie and Danielle kind of threw me like a little engagement party, but it was very casual.
We had like people over. Yeah, I wasn't invited.
I wasn't at your engagement party.
Well, we invited you, I think. It was just Cam was having people over that night already. And then he was like, oh, I'll do the proposal today.
I was invited to that. Whatever.
I think you were, and you couldn't come.
That doesn't sound familiar. I feel like this is like...
Remember you and Jason had to bail like 6 times in a row because Ruby kept getting sick.
This feels like the Dakota Johnson-Ellen interview now where it's like, actually, Ellen, you were invited.
You were, actually, Michelle, you were. I mean, we'll go back in the text. Guys, comment if you think that I'm right or Michelle is right, but I'm like 90%.
It is? Because, like, I you guys never do anything very official, so it's hard to know, like, what's happening.
Well, we do have an official traitors party next week.
I know.
So we'll see if you come to that one. No pressure. You have a child, but...
Yeah, she needs me. And okay. I don't think I was invited.
Okay. All right. The picture is becoming more and more clear.
I need an invite, like how Katie's invites. Like, I need a tea towel.
Oh, okay. And like a map.
Right.
With a stick. Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
cut a lot of that.
A lot of that. Yeah. I don't want people to show up to my traitor's party uninvited. More than already are. I made it an open party on Facebook on accident. And now like people... think that anyone's allowed to come, and they're just clicking like, I'm going, and I'm like,
who are they?
No, I don't know. We'll see. I put my address on there.
You're so stupid.
I know.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Well, so definitely delete that. So
yeah, leave in the Dakota Johnson stuff and then cut everything else.
Yeah, no one come from Bulgaria. Okay. So this whole proposal thing, this whole engagement storyline, which they draw out for 2 full seasons, is when Brittany really takes a turn into serious unlikability as she and Jax really both go Bridezilla and control their storyline. And like anyone who's like, oh, really? You guys are engaged after you guys just broke up because he dumped you after cheating on you, after saying on tape that he was not attracted to you and didn't want to marry you while fucking someone.
Right.
Anyone who like brings that up, they're like, she's like, oh my God, why can't people just let us be happy?
I know. Oh my God.
Leave us alone.
What is it that she said? I'm trying to think of that quote where she's like crying to all the girls and just walks down the hall to her apartment. My God, she says I'm on the brim of like freaking out.
Yes.
Like freaking out. Yeah.
And yeah, just very like, I think because she's such a victim of Jax's that she thinks she's also a victim of everyone else.
She is. And also it's just like the delusion is so insane. I mean, it's so crazy. Like she's like, I want to get married in a castle and like my bridesmaids are like princesses and I'm like a princess. Like everything is like Disney princess coded. Even when she asks like her bridesmaids to be her bridesmaids, like she bought like the Beauty and the Beast like cloche with like a fake rose in it. Like it was insane.
It's just so crazy that this is what she thinks a fairy tale wedding
she married the Beast.
She did marry the Beast, but you know what? None of their silverware is going to turn into people, and the curse is not going to be broken.
Well, all of their silverware is stolen from Sir by Jax. Exactly. So that silverware is probably very unhappy.
Yeah, she even, Brittany even throws a tantrum when, there's like a staff meeting and, Lisa is talking about, possibly firing James, but his, you know, the same old storyline we get every year, but his DJ night brings in so much money, and Brittany flips out at everyone and goes, "This is actually like really pissing me off. You'd care about your business more than our love and our feelings." And this is the point where even Lisa is like, "Okay, fuck off." Like,
well, like, wasn't it because the song, like he, like, you know, Jack's fucked Faith. Yeah.
Yes. Jack. So, James, before the season, fortunately, we only get a short snippet of it, but he was DJing at Sir, and he says, like, "I'm rich as fuck, I just copped a Wraith. Does anybody remember when Jack's fucked Faith?" And Brittany flipped out.
Yeah, because he did it while she was, like, waiting tables. But
he's so proud of that rhyme, too, and it's like, he's like, "I run Wraith with Faith! Don't take that away from me!" Please, Lisa, please!
Please let me be a busboy, Lisa!
So these two just continue to be tyrants, and it gets even worse next season. Spoiler alert.
Grating on their friends, like they're so demanding of their friends during, especially Jax, obviously, so demanding on everybody more than ever. It's exhausting, but it does bring interesting moments to watch on TV.
For sure. And it's when so this season is kind of setting up the big fallout next season, where Sandoval and Ariana are talking about how annoying Jax is. And Jax is getting madder and madder at Sandoval. He's supposed to be his best man, but he's furious that he's like telling everyone, "Isn't Jax annoying?" And then their season ends with an enchanted fairy tale themed engagement party. Not even My Dark Twisted fairy tale,
Lindsay
Hubbard style. Like, that would make sense to me. Like, because it is, maybe it's a bad fairy tale, like a Grimm's Brothers fairy tale they're in. No, it's a Disney fairy tale party.
Into the Woods.
It's more Into the Woods Act Two. Shout out to any Broadway people listening. But yeah, she should not believe in happy endings. And doesn't have one now.
Jax does. With his Reiki instructor.
Okay, we're going to take a break on that. These girls are having a break. And we're back. So let's talk some more about James. At this point, he's reaped what he's sowed. He's fucked around and found out. Everyone's got it in for James. No one wants to shoot with him. He did the anybody remember when Jax fucked Faith rap?
And called Katie fat again. At Pride. Yeah.
At Pride. Yeah. Says, "Those shorts aren't working for you, love. They're not very flattering."
Yes. Again. And then, you know, Schwartz again with "You can't say that to her. She's luscious. Katie's not fat. She's luscious."
And you know when you've actually pissed Schwartz off to the point that he's defending Katie, you've gone too far.
Yeah.
I do like, as horrible as James and alienating as he is, I do like how British he gets when he's being a piece of shit, like Artful Dodger. "Not very flattering."
"Oh, what? You want some more, Jax?"
This is such a cockney little brat. Kristen orchestrates another takedown of James at Pride. She brings Raquel's friend, who admits she's been banging James for 3 years since Coachella. It's basically a Miami girl situation.
Yeah, it's so funny, but they climb over the fence in the back. It's like, she's like, "Oh, if we go through the front, then like James could see us. So we're going to climb this fence and go through like the Sir dumpster." It's like the worst Mission Impossible you can imagine.
Kristen is criminally underused this season.
Oh, I love her though.
Raquel's friend tells her, "I've been fucking like James in this, when you go same house, like you were asleep, we fuck next to you." And Raquel blinks emotionless and says,
"Okay. We need to
so
talk."
Many times.
Quick sidebar. Yeah, go ahead. But
She responds. She blinks and she goes,
"Why does
I'm going
this
to
happen
need more
all
proof.
The time?" I know. But this happens all the time on VPR. Like, not just with Raquel and Jay. Like, all of the cheating happens when someone's asleep in the next room.
Yeah,
everybody.
That's
it happened
really...
with Tom and Ariana. It happened with mm-hmm. Jax and Kristen and Tom and Raquel and James. Like, what are you, like, how are you sleeping? Like, this is crazy. I don't know how this keeps happening on this show.
I know. It's like, well, I guess it's like they party so hard that they are passed out to the point they are legally dead almost.
Right.
And then it's like, well, you know, they're not going to wake up.
Yeah.
Or they probably need to go
to
the hospital.
It's so brazen.
Yeah, it's wild. But then also, counterpoint, maybe like Raquel is so like emotionless and flat and doesn't care at all when she hears that like James was fucking another girl next door. Maybe that's why she felt fine to cheat on Tom in the room across from Ariana, because it's like maybe she's just unethical non-monog and that stuff doesn't bother her.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she's high masking.
Yeah, true. So I think she's very repressed. Like,
she's a pageant girl, you know, so she
just shove it all down.
Yeah, shoves it all down.
And then if it's her food, throws it back up. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think she does that.
Yeah, she's great. She looks good.
She's naturally thin. Okay, in retaliation. Oh, yeah. We already talked about not very flattering. So then finally, Katie gives Lisa an ultimatum. Fire James or Katie quits. Her last ultimatum for Schwartz to marry her worked out well. So she was like, let me try this one. And it actually does work.
Yeah.
She does. But also it's like Lisa has to fire James every season. So she's like, oh, all right, I'll do it early. Like, it's just always been scary.
She fires him during the interviews, like at Pump. And they're like, you know, Sandoval and Schwartz are like, and what are you looking for a job here, little boy? You know, what job you want? He's like, bus boy, you know. And Lisa's like, you're fired.
Yep. Was that a Lisa as Trump? Fired.
It was like a British woman. Trump. You're fired.
Good. So James cries a lot, cries a lot this season, and he goes back to being sober and taking his sobriety more seriously. But we find out James is actually going through a lot. We spend a lot of time with his family this season. He's sending money to his terrible mother, who looks exactly like Kristen.
I know.
Unsettling.
She's so similar to Kristen.
Yeah, it's crazy. He has a talk with his therapist about enforcing boundaries with his mother. And then we see in the next scene him trying to do that. And she pretty much flips out and screams at him and does every single boundary he sets, she steps over. He's like, well, I can keep sending you money, but you've got to tell me what it's for. And she's like, why do I'm a great mother.
I'm your mom. You wore designer clothes. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And then she's like, okay, well, we don't have to do that, but maybe like, you know, stop talking to me about dad. And she's like, your father, the man who left me and, you know, and went to, got his own apartment. I had three kids and he went scuba diving. She can't follow any boundaries. She hates boundaries.
She's a narcissist.
Yes. And then later his mom goes to Lisa because she wants James to get rehired so she can get more money.
Right.
She's like, I'm so glad, Lisa, that he has you as a mother figure. And Lisa goes, you know, you're his mother figure, right?
You're his actual mom.
His actual mom.
You're fired as his mother. You're fired.
Yeah. You're fired. So, like, both Lisa and his mom kind of use him for selfish reasons,
right,
for drama, for money. Who do you think is a less damaging mother figure to James?
I mean, Lisa, because she is at least employing him and making him money, and he's become famous and all of the things. His mom is so toxic, and you know what? Lisa's good TV, and James's mom is not, so that's also points against her.
Oh, see, I feel like James's mom is great TV, but it's like...
it's very uncomfortable because this is her child.
Yeah, it's very like Monica and her mom, where it's like, I do like to see like what makes these people tick, like learning more about their families. But she is so raw with anger, but it does... it does kind of show why he's so erratic and also has addiction issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes. His dad is the most British person ever, too.
Oh, my. His dad is Austin Powers. Like, he's like 60-year-old Austin Powers.
Unemployed Austin Powers.
Yes. He's put on some international. Yeah.
His girl left him. You know, he's got to figure it out. He's got these three kids he's got to take care of, but he can't get a job. He's just depressed.
He's Austin Powers down bad.
Down bad, yeah.
When Tom Tom opens, James is hoping to work there, but he also gets banned from there. Katie puts down her foot. Sandoval really tries to make Katie look like a bitch and like she's being a baby about being fat shamed. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, Schwartz, again, has to stand by Katie because of how awful James has been to her. He's not invited to the group trip to Puerto Vallarta, and mm-hmm. he cries. Peter has to call and uninvite him to his birthday party. It's a tough season. But not as tough of a season as Lala has.
Mm-hmm.
Lala is brunette now, and she is on the warpath, road raging through life, she says.
In her Range Rover. Road raging her way through life.
And those things are like metal death traps. Like you're gonna get hurt more than whoever you road raged.
Mm-hmm.
So her dad died. Weirdly, he was around for her, which you wouldn't expect. So it's especially sad.
Yes.
And her dad is dead, but her daddy Randall is now letting her talk about their relationship
daddy.
On the show.
Yes.
Daddy. So he's finally actually separated from his wife, and they're together. They've also stopped drinking because Lala got so drunk she broke a hurricane-proof glass window.
Yeah. No, did Rand stop drinking too? Because I don't think
they both did.
But then he started again. Yeah.
Then he starts again later, and they break up briefly. Mm-hmm. So she's super pissed at James, just like the rest mm-hmm. of the cast. They used to be friends, but now whenever James hangs out with them, he's like, "Oh, come on. We've all know each other inside and out. Hey.
If you know what I mean, I'm talking you know what about I mean. Sex.
The old Roger Dodger, hey? The old in and out. Tom's your uncle.
And Tom's my best friend, Tom Tom.
They were friends, they were an alliance, but even she is like done with him. She's trying to get in Raquel's ear and get her to break up with James so Raquel won't shoot with him. And because, you know, he treats Raquel really badly.
And also the way that she talks to Raquel, like, she's like so mean.
Yes. It's not a good strategy. Yeah. She is like clearly furious and jealous of Raquel.
Yeah. She's like, oh, you have a college degree? You stupid, dumb bitch. Like,
That's like almost literally how it goes
Bambi-eyed
down. Like,
bitch. Yeah.
And Raquel will like, you know, like they're at CERT and Raquel will come to her with like her planned practice pageant speech mm-hmm. argument. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you say you're a feminist and support women, but you're so horrible to me. And it's like, not a bad argument, but Lala completely shuts her down with like, you're a dumb bitch.
Yeah, she's like, I will pistol whip you. And Raquel's like, you're not a feminist. Okay. I have to do side work. I have to polish these glasses for Lisa.
Yeah, Lala, she also argues, she's like, your man is not Johnny Depp. People aren't lying about fucking him. Which I think is interesting because James and Johnny Depp actually
very similar.
Ended up having quite a bit in common. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Mm, yeah.
Later, after James gets fired, Lala helps Katie throw a Tuesday night party at Sir to make up for the loss of income from See You Next Tuesday.
Yeah, all the girls get together and they're going to make mm-hmm. this like lingerie thing, a sleepover.
Yeah. Girls Night In, which I think is it's a confusing name. Like,
yeah, it is. Because for a second hand, I was like, was it like sleepaway camp? Like, why were they in pajamas?
Yeah, it's kind of I think they were like, oh, we'll all wear lingerie. And then when it happened, they were like, we don't really want to do that. So they all wore like, you mm-hmm. know, flannel. Like, and it's popular.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's popular, though, because, you know, it's the same as See You Next Tuesday. It's not like everyone is like, I can't wait to see James DJ. It's like, yeah, it's Disneyland. We want to, you know, we want to look at Mickey. It's a zoo. Yeah. We want to look at the animals.
It's like, yeah, exactly. It's like going to a character breakfast at Disney World.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, except drunk.
Yeah. And if you haven't been to a character breakfast at Disney World, you poor.
Okay, so Billy Lee was an addition last season of the cast mm-hmm. who wasn't worth mentioning, but she is a hostess at Sir, and she's like been really annoying this season because she wasn't confrontational enough, so she learned her lesson. So now, like, whenever like she's hostessing with Lala, she's like, Lala, get off your phone. We're working. And it's like, ugh.
Yeah, and Lala's like, no, we're not.
Yeah, this is a fake job, bitch.
Yeah, like, Billy Lee, she really tries to make moments happen and they just fall so flat.
Yeah, and again, to this very day. But she does create a little skirmish this season when she gets frustrated that she wasn't invited to help with the girls' night in party with the rest of the girls. And she tweets about it, and then a lot of people are tweeting it's because the cast is transphobic, and she's liking and retweeting a lot of those comments. And so Lala and Katie and all of them are just like furious that she's labeled them as transphobic when really they're like, it's because you're not a real cast member. So at Sheena's housewarming party in Marina Del Rey, Lala
Sheena in the marina.
Which is like also hilarious that she decided to move to Marina Del Rey. Like, she's such a career girl, but what a terrible
and
career
she's
move.
She's always like on the outs with everybody. And now she's like actually like moved 5 hours away. Like, I don't know why she wanted to live in Marina Del Rey. She's like, I wake up every morning and look at these boats that I'm not invited on. Like,
yeah, I think it was like real estate that was like the, you know, cheapest beach real estate she could afford, but is like 90 minutes away without traffic. Like, it's a nightmare. But they all schlep over there, like, you know, two times, and the first time for her housewarming party.
Yeah, and like, they're always, like, complaining, like, God damn it, Sheena, like, why the fuck do you have to live in Marina Del Rey?
Does she still have that house?
She just bought another house somewhere. I think she bought a house in the Valley, maybe. I don't know if she still, she's got a lot of real estate.
She is a mogul. She's smart.
I think of all of the cast members on VPR, like, she's been the wisest with her money.
Well, because she got fucked over the earliest, too, like, with Shay taking, like, emptying their bank account. So then I think she really did learn, and she listens to her financial advisor now.
She does, and, like, Brock is not on any of the mortgages, I don't believe.
That is smart, too. Like, yeah. Because, like, all these other girls, they are still, you know, like, all of the female cast, I feel like, want men who support them more, who like don't have like rocking careers of their own, but like, you know, are going to be able to help them because they're celebrities, they have an empire, they're really busy. But I think the mistake that Sheena used to make and that a lot of them make is like they give them everything, they, you know, they give them access to everything. But Sheena's like, post-divorce, she's like, I won't be fooled again.
Yes, I will marry an unemployed man, but he will not be on the mortgage or anything else.
Yes.
Yes.
I've got a type, but I'm going to be smarter about it. Okay, so they're at her housewarming party, and Lala just rips into Billy Lee. She screams at her, how dare you call me transphobic? You're dirty. You're trash. You're a fucking psychopath. And Billy Lee, to her credit, like, stands up for herself pretty well. Also, now, since it's like 2019, like when something problematic like this happens, like screaming at a trans woman and not listening to her, they always cut to a talking head of Ariana to be like, now this is why this is not a good look.
Right.
Like, she's like doing a lot of heavy lifting on like damage control.
Right. Yeah.
So discussion question. Now that we know that Billy Lee will do anything for camera time, including pretend to like Tom Sandoval, is the girl's angry response a little more justified that like she should have come to them if she felt that way and talk about it on camera rather than going to social media?
Yeah, she probably should have talked to them because I would have liked to seen that altercation play out that way.
I think so,
you know what
too.
I mean? And like, you do stuff on camera. Don't do it on social media. I agree. And like she, and honestly, I kind of like, I sided with Billie Lee on this. Like it was kind of shitty. Like you have the one trans woman working there, and you're not going to include her or have her on the poster. And she's also a cast member, so
yeah, but like a friend of. I think it's like they do. It's the same as like it happens in Summer House too, where like you know like Olivia cries because she's feeling iced out as like a black cast member, and it's like yeah, they ice all the new cast members out, but it's a different feeling when you actually are like from a minority,
right? So I don't think any of the girls did it intentionally. I just think it was very like. Yeah, they were just in the wrong.
Yeah, I do think if she had come to them on camera, it could have been like a nice teachable moment. But I kind of think like she was trying to bring drama, like because she was like, well, I brought a lot of teachable moments last season and it didn't give me any more camera time. So it's like, why not just say I'm fucking pissed? Like, why not ruffle some feathers, you know? But it did backfire on her because this is a cast notorious for icing people out of the cast. They tried to do it with James this season and then they successfully do it to Billie Lee this season. So, back to Lala. Sandoval reveals on his birthday over blowjob shots and guy talk that Lala went down on Ariana in the back of his car while he drove around, outing both Lala as a straight girl who's really horny and Ariana as bi, who has dated, and she's dated women, and he's outing them both on TV.
Yeah, what's up with the guys doing this on that on the show, too? Jax did it to Britney. Sandoval did it to Ariana.
It's so
they just
strange.
Copy each other with like, you know, outing their girlfriends and then how they cheat on people. Like they're just like, I'm just going to do what this person did, even though it didn't work out well at all.
But it does like it does make the show like as a piece of literature very unified, like where it's like, oh, we see this motif over and over again of outing your girlfriend without her consent on TV.
And it also, unlike some Bravo shows, like you do understand that these people actually do hang out outside of just filming, which is why VPR has always been so good. They're real friends. They really interact with each other. They really know each other well. And it's not all just on the show, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, it's like if anything, it's made them even closer. Like everybody in the cast still hangs out with former cast members because they're the only ones who've been through this bizarre experience together. Like they're trauma bonded. Like
I love it.
Yeah, it's great. And then, and to prove it, like a true Judy, when Jax asks Lala about going down on Ariana, she, on camera, she completely denies it. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about, whatever. And then she talks to Ariana and she's like, so are we, like, are we cool to talk about this? She's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's fine. I was like, that is, that's a good homegirl. Like, that's cool of her.
Yeah, she's down, you know?
Yeah.
For anything.
This is why exactly. That's why she's got better game than these dudes.
She like, really does.
Let's take a break on that, and we'll come back with Lala taking the girls to Solvang. So we're back. Lala decides she wants to take all of the cast on a little girls trip to Solvang, including the Witches of WeHo, who used to torture her and call her a slut every episode. Katie, Kristen, and Stassi. Suddenly they forgive her because she's going to fly them in a private jet to Solvang.
She's going to fuel up the PJ because, you know, girls, I don't really like driving. So we're just going to be in the air for 20 minutes on the PJ, which is the most Taylor Swift thing I think Lala has ever done. It's not the singing that's Taylor Swift-esque. It's the what she's done to the environment because of her jet usage.
Yes. she's what's it called? Not economically. Environmentally a Taylor Swift.
Yeah, environmentally Taylor.
So Solvang is like a Dutch tourist wine country spot in California. And even though she's sober, this is basically like a trip to really get in good with the girls in the cast. And like, you know, like they get to fly in a private jet, which they're all excited about, drink a bunch of wine while she just watches them. Now, I have a question. So the fandom, the VPR fandom usually thinks like think of that as a huge sellout move for like Lala, who's a self-declared bad bitch, to like suddenly like kiss all their asses, even though they were so mean to her. What's your opinion?
Was it? I think it was strategic because she needs to stay on the show.
Yeah, especially this season where it's like they are really, she's seen what they've done to James, Billy Lee. She's like, I got to start solidifying these bonds.
Yeah, and it's not going to make sense for much longer for her to be a hostess at Sir and driving her Range Rover and taking these private jets and just, you know, her lifestyle being paid for by Randall. So she might as well get everybody on her side and I'll take you on the PJ and then the trip's funded by Randall and we'll be friends and I will stay on the show and have a reason to be on the show.
Yeah, I think it is like that, you know, thing where it's like you do, even if people have like really wronged you, you do have to move on and forgive for the show to keep going.
Right.
So so in Solvang, it's Lala's trip, but Kristen really steals the show. Sassy and Katie are already a little like worried about going on a trip with Kristen because she's famously, they call her a trip terrorist.
She's not good on trips.
No,
she's good at tripping, which we will find out in Solvang.
And not tripping on drugs. She's good at literally. Whoop,
yeah, she's
down. She goes.
She's good on drugs.
Yeah, yeah. She's steady, steady as a rock.
Steady
on
as
drugs.
They gum.
So they had all just gone to Europe, and Kristen had gone so crazy that she disappeared from the trip and ended up back in West Hollywood. Like they didn't know where she went and suddenly they see her posting pictures from
back home.
West Hollywood.
Yeah, they were like, we left her in Paris and the next thing we know, she's back home in Hollywood, back in WeHo. She's like, I don't know, she has like anxiety about international travel, I guess, is her problem.
Yeah. But she's, oh yeah, because whenever they go to Mexico,
she
people have to share
out.
Rooms with her and she flips out.
Yeah, but Solvang's not international, but she
That's
also
true.
Flips out. But I think maybe because it's like very European in its architecture, that feels to maybe
she's
Kristen.
Triggered.
She's triggered by the like the Dutch-esque architecture. So, you know, she sees a windmill and she flips her.
Like,
I can't with this windmill.
So she ends up drinking a lot to cope with her Dutch PTSD.
Yeah.
She is like everyone else is like doing wine tasting and you see her like pouring the bottle and it's like all the way to like the brim. Like,
brim. Like yeah. She's on the brim.
She's like falling out of chairs. Like she'll start to talk and then just trail off her sentence.
It doesn't
like,
make any sense. I wish there was more footage. I know so much of it probably got cut. But even when they're like at different shops and stuff, like cute little shops, like trying to like buy stuff. I don't know, whatever you buy in those.
She's like, Madame Mambo to the banana bash sunglasses.
Yeah, she's like trying on sunglasses and then talking to nobody and then like going outside of the store to like smoke a cigarette. Like it's so wild. And then coming back in and drinking like an entire huge glass of wine. And she's the opposite of Lala this trip. Lala's doing the exact opposite.
Yes.
And I'm going to say that neither of them are actually having fun.
No. Lala is pretending like this is great. I don't need to drink wine. Mm-hmm. I can sniff it. Like
sniffing everybody's,
you can't snort it.
Yeah, sniffing everybody's wine. Because she told Rand that she'd be sober. And there's, you know, being sober is a good thing, but it is interesting that she's like, I'm going to take everybody to wine country.
It seems like the heart, but it's like, it's clearly, it's what she knows, like, mostly Stassi is really into. Like, Stassi is, like, you know, kind of the head. She runs the Witches of WeHo. So Stassi's excited about the private jet, the wine, and, like, if Stassi's and the other girls are, other than Kristen, who is falling apart.
And Stassi likes Europe the most out of all the girls. So going somewhere that looks, reminds her of Europe is very exciting.
Mm-hmm. And then things really take a turn for Kristen when they're all at a fancy dinner.
Oh, my God.
And they find out that James is going to be DJing Billy Lee's brunch at Sir.
Mm-hmm. Triggered by this. It makes no sense.
Until now we've got a little more information.
Yeah, but at the time watching it, you're like, why does she care? This is your ex-boyfriend. You're with somebody else.
You're not going to be there. Like, you're not even going to be there.
Yeah, like, I don't even think you're allowed on premises, Kristen.
You've got to climb
a fence. Like, stop.
Yeah. And what she says is like, well, it's not fair because, like, you know, everyone's still so mad at me for Jax, but everyone forgives mm-hmm. him for everything. But now that we know that Kristen has, like, recently come out and said they had an abusive right. relationship, and that it was like the footage was edited of her pushing him at the wedding. Mm-hmm. He actually pushed her into some bushes first. Mm-hmm. Does it make more sense why she's so PTSD triggered?
Yes, definitely. And also, like, the drinking from, like, as soon as she wakes up, like, all day, probably mm-hmm. dinner was the first time she had seen food that day.
Mm-hmm.
I just mm-hmm. don't think. And then everything we find out's going on with Carter. Like, I think that all just becomes, like, Kristen's, like, a Hurricane Kristen.
Yes. It's a, yeah, it's a lot of weather patterns merging.
Everything is triggering her. Yeah, what is that called when, like, it's, like, all of the weather, like, all the different types of weather, like, merging together?
I believe it's called The Perfect Storm. So speaking of The Perfect Storm, there's a storm brewing in La La as well. She flies the girls back from Solvang, and she finds out that Randall relapsed while she was mm-hmm. gone.
So
the whole time she wasn't drinking wine, and he breaks up with her.
So funny, though, when she finds out, like, you know, because she sees, like, empty bottles and all this remnants of partying. She doesn't say everything that she saw, but I'm pretty sure some of it was cocaine.
I'm sure.
Allegedly.
And probably, like, panties. Yeah. Because he was a big
And then
theater.
She goes, this doesn't work for Lala. I love when she refers to herself as Lala. This doesn't work for Lala.
Yeah, I love third person mm-hmm, for her. Mm-hmm. It's a great point of view for her.
I also do love when they come back from Solvang, the 20-minute flight, that all the girls are like, okay, now, like, they're, you know, Brittany's like, okay, now we got to do our shift at Sir. Like, they all, like, okay. Show up at Sir and they're dry. It's like, okay, like, really? All right.
Yeah. This is beginning to really strain credulity, like, more than before.
It's just like, I'm so glad that Lala was able to get them back on time.
It was necessary to take a PJ. We needed those girls for the shift.
Mm-hmm. They gotta get waters.
So at Lala's next shift at Sir, it's Billy Lee's brunch. Mm-hmm. Lala iconically is hostessing in J-Lo's famous dress from the Grammys 2000, yep. The green plunging dress, which, fun fact about that dress. Fun fact, it was actually the reason Google image search was invented.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
So many guys wanted to look at her boobs.
And I think
afterwards.
Just like, I think, because I remember watching that on TV and being like shocked.
Yes.
And I was, because I remember watching that Grammys. This is how old I am. Watching that Grammys and my parents were in the room and it was just like, you had never seen. Because I think also what happened, and J-Lo's talked about this and we can cut this if we need to, where, because she wasn't the first person to wear this dress. So she almost didn't choose that. It was actually Jerry Halliwell from the Spice Girls wore it to some event, but it was not a big deal. Like the way that, so they had like a fan at the Grammys that hit the stage. So it blew up her dress a little bit. And then people were like, oh my God. And also just like, no one had ever seen like double-sided tape before on tits. And it was a big moment in pop culture. At the time.
A Marilyn Monroe type moment.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Lala is making $10 an hour hostessing in that like $50,000 dress. And
yes.
So Billy Lee comes to her to try to sort out their issues. But really, it's just them screaming and saying, I'm questioning your character. I'm questioning your character. And Lala says to Billy Lee, you're a fucking snake. Lala hears Rachel from across the room say Lala is pulling the dad card again, and then really pops.
Triggered, yeah.
She says, do not ever bring up my dad. I thought you were a fucking dumbass before my dad died, you Bambi-eyed bitch.
I know.
Iconic line.
So, like, really, Lala was just as iconic in this green dress as J-Lo was in the Grammys when she wore it.
I have to agree.
It was just as an iconic moment.
She gets in three fights right in a row. After she takes down Raquel, then she confronts James and says, you're still loving the fact you got to fuck Lala. Good for you. It's the only success you'll ever have in this world. Get away before I peel your face from your skull.
Amazing.
Like, she really gets on a roll.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. The Bambi-eyed bitch, like, we still say it today. It might just be you and I, but
No, I think it's still because it's like, it's such a read. It makes like her biggest asset, like Rose, like Raquel's beautiful doe eyes into like a fucking insult.
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. It's still part of like the lexicon.
Yes, totally. It's part of our lore. Okay. And then after a panic attack in Mexico, because she's drinking again and she has such bad hangover anxiety that she's freaking out and has to drink a baby bottle.
Oh my God. All the girls have to like hold on to her, like
hold her hands.
Yeah, squeeze. She's like, squeeze these different parts of my body, and like they're at dinner and they're like, what's going on? And all the guys are,
she's such a different person than me. Like when I'm having a panic attack, the last thing I like, don't touch me, don't touch me. Like she's like, everybody squeeze like all of my acupressure points.
Yeah, I'm like, don't touch me, don't get near me, just tell me, answer me this, am I dying?
Yes, exactly. Riddle that's me, my yeah, thought. Like, riddle me this.
Riddle me this, husband. Am I dying?
Yes.
Like, no.
Yes. Yeah, I'm like, just tell me I'm not going to have a seizure over and over again, but don't get close to me. After that wake-up call, she realizes she's an addict once and for all, commits to sobriety, which she's been committed to this day, and gets back to Rand.
Yay.
And in the off-season, he proposes before the reunion. That's why I always call
football
it that.
Terms.
It's like
sports. In off season.
And again, she also gets a fairy tale happy ending.
Mm-hmm. And she gets her Gucci slides back. Because remember when they broke up this season and she was like, and he was like, give me back those Gucci slides that I paid for. And she started crying to Stassi. And she's like, and he took my Gucci slides.
The biggest tragedy.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, she probably still has those and she's not with Rand anymore. So
probably. But she can afford her own Gucci slides.
So Stassi's got a new man. She's been kind of like hidden in the back for these past few seasons, but she's coming center stage with her very
new
sweet
beau.
New boyfriend. She's got a new beau. His name is Beau. Or is it?
We'll get into that tea next season.
But he seems right now on the outside to be like the nicest guy she's ever dated. Cute, mostly normal, almost too normal for her and the show, as her mom keeps reminding her. But there's something still not quite right about him.
Right.
Like
the fact that he wants to be on TV. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Like basically with Vanderpump, it's like we've seen the only way to get on the cast is to marry into the cast. Mm-hmm. So Bo is trying his hardest to pretend like, oh, I don't care. I'm a normal guy. I can roll with it. But really, it's like he's kind of the same as like
all the guys.
Raquel or Brittany, where it's like, you know, like where she's dating someone who seems normal so that she seems more normal.
And also heavy
sometimes. Also a heavy drinker, so he can hang. Mm-hmm. But sometimes she's seeming not as normal because she still has a dark passenger and flips out on him a couple times.
Yeah. At her birthday party.
At her birthday party, he like wants to stay out late and she wants him to come home with her. And she flips out at him, which I kind of, looking back, I'm like, I don't think
she
it's
calls
horribly
him, like,
unfair
20
of
times.
Her.
I totally agree. You know what? Number one, I totally agree with her. One, it's her fucking birthday party. Number two, you're like a man pushing 40. Why do you need to like keep partying past like 1 a.m.? Like, this is insane. Stupid.
You want to keep hanging out with Jax? Like, what are you talking
exactly,
about?
Exactly. What are you? Yeah. What's Jax got to talk about that is more interesting than like going to bed with your like super hot girlfriend? What's wrong with you, dude?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on her side, but she's painted as the villain.
Right.
Even her mom is like, you're going to go crazy and drive him away in front of him.
Yeah, Dana. Get her on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, please.
Yeah, she's a piece of work.
Yep.
And then when they go to Puerto Vallarta, they have a similar fight where Stassi gets too drunk and he's like, why don't you go dance? And she's like, I'm wearing Spanx and a maxi dress.
Yeah.
You're ruining it for me. Because
like all the girls are like dancing on this stage and she's like, I don't fucking want to. Which like, by the way, Bo, respect her goddamn boundaries. If she doesn't want to fucking do that, she doesn't have to.
Yeah, don't dance pressure her.
Exactly.
They stay up late fight more in the morning because again he wants to
stay
out
late. Yep.
And the next day she apologizes for her dark passenger, says it's all her fault, and he agrees. He says, you dick punched my heart.
He literally said that. It's insane. You dick punched my heart.
Such a written line. Ugh. Anyway, more about Bo
and his wooden bow ties and his not real name. And we'll get into that next season.
Yeah, he's not, like, the show gives guys a good edit, but he's not all he appears. Michelle, I have a little game for you. So, you know, the TikTok game where each time you you get a choice and you rank it 1 through 5, mm-hmm. One is the best, 5 is the worst. Mm-hmm. So I want you to rank these statements that Vanderpump Rules cast members' parents actually said on this season. And number 1 will be the most traumatic, most fucked up thing they could say. And number 5 would be the least traumatic.
Oh, okay.
And you don't know what will be coming next. So you have to give each one a station. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I do this in therapy. This will be good.
Oh, perfect. It's good to have a therapist who's into social media trends. So
yes, and has direct quotes from my mother.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, so number 1. Was I a shitty mother? You went to a $50,000 school a year, right? Great vacations, Burberry, Ralph Lauren. This is bullshit. You took your first steps at fucking Tiffany's.
Okay, I'm going to give that a 3 because, 3. Yeah, Tiffany's, that's exciting to have your first steps there.
That's true. She has a point.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay, so that's 3. So the next statement is, she says in front of you and your new boyfriend, So you are actually like down here. And this guy, this new boyfriend, he's like up here way above you.
That hurts. Yeah, I'm going to give that a 1.
A 1,
that's pretty
okay.
Pretty painful.
Yeah, that's pretty mean, pretty mean. Okay, so the next one, we'll see if you want to keep it as a 1, because the next one is saying to your new boyfriend, every night I go to sleep and pray she doesn't take her baggage from her old relationships and carry it into this.
Oh, you know what, I'm still going to say that the other one was a 1. I'll give this one a 2. This is pretty bad.
Pretty bad, too. Okay, so we've got 1, 2, and 3.
But at least, like, this mom is like, well, I know it's Dana, and she's praying for her daughter, and I understand that as a mom.
She does want what's best. Okay. So the next one is, let's have a beer here at Toca Madera to celebrate how well you're doing with your sobriety. Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Okay. That's a 4. It's party time. And I get it. Also, Toca Madera, pretty iconic. It's where Rob allegedly made out with that girl, even though he doesn't like to kiss.
Yes, that's true. At least he has respect for VPR history. Okay, and last one. We'll see if it's a
4.
What do we have left? 5, I think, is less.
Okay.
Less.
Yeah.
I'm so scared you're going to be you and fuck your relationship up.
Oh my god, that's just good advice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 5.
Yeah. Like I would want my mom to be that honest with me.
Okay, I love it. Well, hey, you didn't even need to relabel anything. You got a perfect score, A+.
Yeah, no, my mom's literally said like similar things to some of these.
Oh god. Well, I'm glad that this was triggering.
No,
sorry.
It wasn't triggering. No, it's fine. Oh, my god. My mom didn't do it on national TV, but one time she was like,
"Yeah,
you know, Jason's is the one. Like, he liked you when you were fat."
Oh god.
And he did.
I would put that at number 1. Okay, new segment alert. For these less strong seasons, we're going to give you a cheat sheet for the best episodes if you want to revisit the season, or like if you haven't seen it at all, like, and don't want to punish yourself with the whole season, just watch these. It's enough.
And we'll put these on Instagram and TikTok.
Yes. So episode 1, A Decent Proposal. Episode 3, Either Him or Me, the Pride episode. Episode 8, A Housewarming Divided, which we talked about. Episode 15, Trouble in La La Land. It's a Billy Lee brunch. Episode 17, FOMO in Mexico. It's just really fun to see them all partying and a little drama with the Stassi and Beau fight.
Right.
Episode 11, Return of Crazy Kristen, is like kind of an honorable mention if you're like a big fan of how crazy Kristen is. That's a good one. And then episode 16, also honorable mention. We do have to actually issue a retraction right now. We talked last episode about Tom and Katie's Trade Me fights, and then their big fight in the hotel in Mexico where everyone could hear. That is actually in this episode. So if you want to hear them fight, that is episode 16, season 7, I Don't Like the Sound of Your Voice.
Oh, I don't like the sound of your voice.
Okay, I know we shit on the season a lot. I do want to give credit where credit is due. The season aired at the same time that Beverly Hills had their final Lisa Vanderpump season, Lucy Apple
My
Juicy.
God, that dog.
That dirty dog.
Ruined the show.
Ruined the show. And I would say, like, even though we might be a little hard on this season and the grading comparing it, this is like the show to itself, this is so much better than that season. Like, it is worth a rewatch, especially the episodes that
yes. Except for recommend. Goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle. Okay, so some motifs. We talked about a few, but others would be bad moms, diva behavior. And Lisa making Tom and Tom look like absolute fools.
Yeah.
Outing your girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. Symbolism. Maybe Raquel's Bambi-eyed eyes.
Yes. That was a beautiful symbolic.
Symbolism for a bitch.
And how, yeah, Bambi-eyed. Sheena being in Marina Del Rey, far away from the cast. Lala has dark hair this season and she goes full dark Lala.
Yeah.
And then Tom Sandoval gets a scooter with a little sidecar to do the grand opening of Tom Tom, and Schwartz sits bitch and he continues to sit bitch with him to this day.
Yep.
So what grade do you give this season, Michelle?
You know, so in my head, I always was like, okay, like this is like when this show stops being good, it's the real world starts getting real. But it was so much better than I remembered when I went back and watched it. So I'm going to give it a B+. It's never going to live up to like season 2 or 3, but it's not bad. It's very entertaining.
Yeah, I give it a B+ too. I think like and compared to like basically any other season of reality TV, I give it an A-.
Yeah.
Like it's great. It's a great show.
Definitely.
Next season, not so much.
Wedding season, but maybe we'll go back and watch it and be like, okay, there's still some moments.
Yeah. And I think there are. And I think in season 9 there are too. So we still got a lot of fun on the journey ahead of us, guys. Okay, so we've reached the end of the show. It's time for our final segment, the oral exam. This is an essay about anything you want in pop culture that you feel passionately about, and you've got 60 seconds to make your case.
So we actually have a listener, two listeners, and I'm going to read their one oral exam first, and then I'll do mine. You want to do that?
So this was just such a brilliant insight and such a great idea. And it's the kind of innovation from Bravo scholars that we really want to highlight on this show. And we needed to get it to the people.
Yes.
So here we go. Here is, did they want their names?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Oh, yeah. It's Deandra and Alicia from a group that we're in on Facebook called Whispering Leans. And we can plug Deandra's Instagram. It's bilingual playdate. So everyone go follow her on there. She's got so many followers. I'm like, she does like amazing things. I was like going through that. I was like, wow, she's like a social worker and speaker and just really cool. But most importantly, outside of all the social work she's doing, is her thoughts on Bravo. So I'm going to read it now.
Okay.
So she says, I think Paige and Craig have enough love, flexibility, money, other resources to make their situation not only work, but make them even more money. I think that they should have two places, one in New York City that's theirs and can be a mother-in-law guest apartment, and two places in Charleston, their house plus an in-law guest apartment. This way, their family and friends can come visit and stay near them. I know how shitty it is to live far away from your family, especially your mom if you plan on having kids. So this way, Paige can always have her parents close by when she needs and wants them. And same for Craig when they're in New York. On the off time, vacant times, they can rent these places. They can live in each city 4 to 6 months a year and have truly the best of both worlds. We would all love a life like that. And that's what she wrote. And
oh, great. And that's exactly 60 seconds.
Oh, my God,
seconds.
I love it.
This is why she's
brilliant.
A genius.
Also,
they're both geniuses.
Yeah, when we've done these, I've never thought of, like, how I can make people's lives better.
Yes, it's all just complaining with us. So.
Yeah, because when I get into mine, there's going to be a big shift. So So props, round of applause for DeAndre and Alicia. This was like
actually
like super great advice. If anybody listening actually could get this to either Paige or Craig, Craig from Southern Charm, Paige from Summer House, this would be good advice
that would
for them,
because
I do know that like this is like a source of contention between them.
And they're both such business-minded people, especially Paige, that I think that like that would be, they just need to be like, it just needs to be proposed
to them
and they would go for it.
Yeah, and DeAndre also added like it would be fun for Paige to decorate his store sewing down south where he makes all his
pillows. Oh my
God, pillows.
They need it.
I know.
It's a little too like dark, I feel like.
They could have like a spinoff like Summer Down South. I don't know.
Yes, I think, I mean, I think I would watch. I think I like Paige enough to watch that, and I don't think she's bringing it drama-wise. So it's like it could be more of a TLC kind of feel.
Okay.
Okay.
And now for something
we figured it out.
Completely different.
Okay.
I'll do mine.
All right, Michelle, you have 60 seconds on the clock. Your time starts
now. In this essay, I will prove reading the endless articles about the Cyrus family drama is greater than or equal to taking an antidepressant for a serotonin boost. Miley's mom married her youngest daughter's ex and hired security to keep Noah, the daughter, from the wedding. And Miley knew the whole time. I'm doing the Sally Field from Mrs. Doubtfire, like the whole time.
The whole time you were.
Also, this dude is gross. His name's like Dominic Purcell. So he's like slept with the daughter and the mom, married the mom, ruined their mother-daughter relationship. But he has an interesting dating past. He was linked in the past with the number one mental health advocate we have for dissociative identity disorder, and that's Miss Anna Lynn McCord from the 90210 reboot. And I need her to weigh in on this drama ASAP. Time.
And that's time. Oh, fabulous. Wow, these have been really well timed. very edifying. Michelle brought me in on this controversy. And it's fascinating. I actually wanted to do like a TikTok video as Anna Lynn McCord. So I tried to pin curl my hair to make it curly. And I'll post pictures on the Instagram. I look like Harpo Marx.
And you look like a child.
Like a child. Yeah. Like Shirley Temple, but baby
you
Jane.
You look like you're going to interview for Tom Sandoval's publicist position.
It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. We'll show you guys maybe in the stories because I want it to go away.
Animal crackers in my soup. I never realized how creepy that was until it's like so weird, right? That whole scene on the plane where it's just a bunch of men watching this child in a little skirt. I don't like it.
Yeah, she had way too many male tap dancing friends
also,
who were like over 50.
Again, a reference I don't know many people will understand. Shirley Temple from that movie.
Why on the podcast do we have so many references to the 1930s? We never talk about it except on the podcast.
No, I don't know. I think one of us just one day said something and then the other one like figured out like, oh, you know what I'm talking about too. Like, you know Buster Keaton too. Okay, we'll just like keep talking about it.
We're scholars.
Yeah, we're scholars. Scholars of all things screen, except for fantasy and science fiction. They can go fuck off.
The lesser arts. Okay, so I also have a proposal. It's not quite as brilliant as the other one, but and I don't know if I'll get through it in time, but I have 60 seconds on the clock. My time starts now. In this essay, I will prove in this changing world of hatred on social media against reality TV people, we need to put in people's contracts to incentivize drama. And everyone right now gets a pay raise depending on how much time they are on the show, which means Kyle Richards made the most of like anyone on Bravo probably last season, which is a travesty. It should be you get a minimum raise if you stay on the show. But if you really bring drama, if you really are vulnerable, if you really open up your life to storylines, especially instead of selling it to the press, which I think should be an automatic firing if you're opening up to the press and not to the show, then you just need to be able to bring it and be messy, because right now people are getting so much hate. And if you are the ones like tagging people with hate or sending them mean DMs, you are the ones who are causing it. But I know I can't get through to all of you. But I can get through to Bravo. Guys, if you're listening, you need to pay people more if they are messy and open up about their lives. And that's my time.
Love it. A+.
Wow, we all did a perfect 60 seconds. That's never happened.
Oh my God, and it'll never happen again.
Yep. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Follow Deandra at Bilingual Playdate on Instagram. Follow us at Bravo_breakdowns on Instagram. We're not doing any good other than educating the people. And follow us on TikTok. We recently had a viral tweet. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Thank you, Spencer Pratt. And if you want to do an oral exam, we would love to hear from you guys. DM us. Email us. BravoBreakdowns@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We want to get your words to the people, too. We love you guys so much.
Bye.
Bye, students.
It hurts when Lala calls me stupid.
Yeah.
Like, do you think I'm stupid?
No, Raquel, no. I think you're intelligent and smart and beautiful and kind and giving.
I think the reason why I take it so personally is because it was really, really hard for me to learn growing up. In elementary school, I had to, you know, retake my multiplication tables, and I couldn't join the ice cream party because I didn't reach all my 12 scoops for each times table. If you didn't complete all your scoops, then you were assigned to sit in a classroom and watch Winnie the Pooh. I've always hated Winnie the Pooh because of that.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now.